Welcome guys to another session. Today we are going to be talking about a very, very hot topic, and that is self-sabotage. Self-sabotage. And this is something that I would say probably majority of the people encounter at some time, some more than others, but in my own life I notice myself self-sabotaging what I really want to be doing. Because deep inside, there is something that is preventing me from taking action. There is something that is causing fear, it's causing stress, it's causing anxiety, it's causing a strong emotion that is it's very uncomfortable to be with. So sometimes, I would say majority of the times when we are doing self-sabotage, we are somehow unconsciously trying to protect ourselves from what we perceive can be dangerous, what we perceive can be, can be a threat. So today, I really want to have a conversation with all of you about self-sabotage. I really want to get curious about it. Why do we self-sabotage? When is it happening? How can we bring it from that unconsciousness into the consciousness, into how can we become mindful of it? How can we start noticing it? And then what are we going to choose to do instead? Once we are aware of it, I would like to talk about the steps that I personally feel are necessary from everything that I have read, from my own personal experience, from my experience of helping others and what I have seen and witnessed. What are the steps that we need to take in order to be able to overcome this pattern that we may be falling into? Okay? So before, I would like to ask you guys, do you notice yourself self-sabotaging in a specific area of your life? And I'm happy to share some examples of my own experience. But are you guys aware of a specific situation where you notice that you are self-sabotaging yourself? And I know it takes a lot of courage to share that. And I know it takes a lot of awareness. And it is okay if you don't. But I would like to know, where are you guys at? Have you noticed any self-sabotaging patterns in your own life? Anne HH says, handling paper. Hi, Damian, you are new here. Thank you for joining. So handling paper. So Anne, why would you say that you self-sabotage yourself handling paper? And how does that show up in your life? And what do you get out of self-sabotaging yourself? Because we always get something out of it. Becca says, hi, is self-sabotage the same as self-bullying? So Becca, I will say that self-sabotage is when you consciously or unconsciously, you do something to prevent yourself from taking action in something that feels scary, something that you may feel that your mind, your brain may feel like can be a threat. So you are basically avoiding doing something and you do something else instead. That is self-sabotaging yourself. Self-bullying, it's more about the negative self-talk that you engage in when maybe self-sabotage is happening. So self-bullying can happen parallel to self-sabotage, but it can also happen any other time. You don't have to self-sabotage yourself in order to practice self-bullying. Self-bullying is basically negative self-talk about something that you don't like about yourself. And that's also really important to become aware of it. When is that happening, and how can you stop doing that? Because that's not very nice to yourself. And also, what is underneath that self-bullying? Why do you find yourself self-bullying? And what is underneath that? What is the emotion? What is the pattern that is running your behavior in that specific moment? And it's a great opportunity for you to explore and heal and process and learn more about yourself. Shirley says, in eating well, in relationships, avoiding an activity versus negative self-talk. So Becca, that's a question, avoiding an activity versus negative self-talk. Yeah, so that can be related to each other, but sometimes you may be avoiding a specific activity and maybe the self-talk is not happening. Sometimes you may be avoiding a specific activity and you may be saying, there you are back again doing the same thing, you are worthless, blah, blah, blah. That I hope that's not the case, but it's worth being curious about it. It's worth understanding and using your metacognition executive functioning skill to really be present with yourself in the present moment and notice what's running. Are you self-sabotaging? Are you negative self-talking? What are you doing? And what is the pattern that is running you? And try to become an observer of your own mind, an observer of the own behaviors and patterns that are running you in that specific moment. And the more you can detach yourself from those patterns, the more you will be able to start accepting them, understanding them, embracing them, and then start transforming them into something different. Not doing paper stuff like my taxes. So Erin says, knowing that I have already been putting something off makes it easier to avoid it yet again. Yeah, Erin, of course it does, because it feels more familiar, more comfortable. It's more certain. And we're going to be talking about certainty and uncertainty and the relationship with self-sabotage and the unknown, because there is a very big relationship there. Yeah, Jude says, I leave for work at the last possible moment because I tell myself I can accomplish one more task. Yeah, so guys, thank you for sharing all your examples. Ray says, all the time. Wow. All the time. That's interesting. Let me see, there is one more. Susie says, I purposefully fight going to sleep, which ensures that my following day is going to be very difficult because I am exhausted and sometimes can't even drive a car. Yeah, Susie, that's great awareness. And yeah, that's a great example too. So some examples from my own life that happened like a couple of weeks ago. I do kitesurfing and I went to Fuerteventura in the Canary Islands. And I have this thing with kitesurfing that I think I overcame in this trip, but I was noticing it. Every time I went to the beach, I was feeling this anxiety. I was feeling this tension in the pit of my stomach. I was sweating. My breathing was shallow. And I was noticing myself always looking for excuses not to go and try kitesurfing. And I was really trying to understand, why am I trying to self-sabotage myself here all the time with something that I truly want to do? And then the more I was thinking about it, the more I realized the reasons why. And in my own example of this specific example, there were a few things that were happening. One, I was afraid of having an accident. And I was afraid of what happens if I have an accident with the kite, something happens, I hit myself, I have an accident, and then I am not able to be a dad for my daughter. I am not able to be a good husband for my wife. And it felt selfish to do that activity because it was risky. That's one. Another one, and I realized that later, it's like, wow, I don't really trust my gear. Because there was something that wasn't functioning. I didn't quite understand how the self-release safety mechanism was working in my kite. And I couldn't have anyone help me figure that out. So as soon as I got help from someone that knew and helped me go through the process and I understood and I trusted my gear, then I felt more confident. And the other one was that I needed a little bit of support the first times and I wasn't allowing myself to do that. So those are three examples of why I was noticing that I was looking for excuses. The weather is not good, there is no one on the beach, my kite is not going to work well, etc., etc. And deep inside, I really wanted to do it. But I was self-sabotaging myself, okay? Another example of with regarding home organization, a self-sabotage behavior that I saw in a client a few months ago. Deep inside, she was afraid of what's gonna happen once I finish decluttering and my home is organized? Then her fear was, I will have no excuses so that I have to do what I want to do in life. And doing what she wanted to do in life included showing up, included starting something new that she didn't know if it would work. And basically, she was opening herself up for failure. She was opening herself up for what other people will say about her, how other people will view her. Maybe some people will criticize her for what she was doing new that wasn't doing before. And then deep inside, she was feeling fear about confronting that uncertainty. There was some piece of like, I don't think I'm good enough to do that. Who am I to claim space to do that, etc. So there were a lot of underlying reasons of why deep inside she didn't want to confront that reality of having an organized home. And then she had time and energy to invest in those new things. So deep inside, unconsciously, of course, she will not declutter her home. She will not finish organizing her home because that was her defensive mechanism to keep herself safe. So until she was able to confront all those excuses, all those reasons, all those beliefs that she had in her head, she wouldn't be able to move forward with organizing physically her home. And this is another example of the deep relationship between your mental and emotional health and your physical belongings. So this is another example of how noticing what was present, uncovering all those things, allow her to then make a choice. Like, what do I want to do? Is this new thing that I'm trying to do really what I really want to be doing? And if yes, then you have to be courageous to take the leap. You have to step into that uncertainty, into the unknown, and start creating what you want. And yes, you're gonna feel anxiety. And yes, you're gonna feel fear. And yes, it's gonna feel very uncomfortable. But it is your choice. You want to choose to do that. So at the end of the day, it's so important to start taking ownership of your own choices. Start taking ownership of what you truly want and start taking ownership of what you are currently doing because you are doing it. And it can be consciously or unconsciously, but you need to be willing to come to the present moment. You need to be willing and courageous to look at the reality of your life now, the reality of the specific situation that you are trying to stop, that self-sabotage, if that's what's happening. You have to be courageous and curious and engaged in the process of, I want to change this. I want to transform this. And if you don't want to, then you have to get clear with yourself. Say, I don't want to do that. And that is my choice. And then stop self-sabotaging. You are choosing not to do it intentionally, consciously. And then just remove it from your life and move on with something else. So that those are the choices that you have, right? So Anne says, isn't all procrastination self-sabotage? Yeah, I'm gonna share a few ways of how do we get into that self-sabotage and how does that self-sabotage show up. Procrastination, absolutely, it is a way to self-sabotage yourself sometimes because when you are procrastinating something, you are keeping yourself safe. You are avoiding a specific task because doing that task, there is something in doing that task that makes you feel uncomfortable. Maybe there is an emotion that you want to avoid. Maybe there is a communication with someone else that you want to avoid. Maybe you are afraid that you're not going to be good enough. And then you rather avoid failing by not even getting started. Maybe your task completion, executive functioning skill about that task, the definition of completing that task is so humongous, so big, that you feel overwhelmed and you don't know how to get started. And you know that whatever you do is not going to be good enough. And then you just avoid doing it. Perfectionism could be another way of self-sabotaging yourself. And this happens in my life a lot. And I notice my perfectionism mindset so many times. And I am taming it now. I am forcing myself to take action, sometimes imperfect action, just to practice that muscle of not everything has to be to my high expectations. Sometimes I need to finish things. I need to ship things fast. I don't want to spend a lot of time. And then this is your choice. So perfectionism is one. Procrastination is another one. Avoiding conflict can be another one. Disorganization, as I shared in that example, sometimes staying disorganized can serve as an excuse that allows you to stay where you are instead of taking action and leaping into that new thing that you really want to create. But when you are disorganized, you have an excuse, you have a reason to stay where you are at. And of course, you are going to self-sabotage yourself to don't get organized. Because if you get organized, then you have to face whatever you need to face that is scaring you. And then a way for you to self-sabotage is to stay disorganized. Another example is physical clutter, just having clutter around. It's the same as being disorganized. Another one is having a pessimistic point of view. Another one is negative self-talk, people pleasing. When you are pleasing others, many times you are people pleasing because you are avoiding a conflict, you are avoiding a conversation, and that can be a form of self-sabotage. Controlling, having the need to control everything can be a form of self-sabotage, because when you want to control everything to the way you want things done, to the way that you understand, you don't leave any room for the unknown. You don't leave any room for something new to come into your life. And I am guilty of that. Sometimes I notice that I am so rigid and I want something done in such a specific way. And then I realize, wow, I'm not allowing anything else to flow into my life in this specific scenario because I have a box like this big and that's it. I don't allow anything else to flow in there. So that can be a form of self-sabotage. Nothing new can come because there is no space for it. I am not willing to create that space. So what else? Feeling not good enough. Sometimes we don't feel good enough. We feel that we don't deserve what's about to happen to us, what we want to create. It feels, I don't deserve that. So you are going to avoid it. You are going to self-sabotage in so many different ways. Okay, so these are just some examples, but I want you guys to really understand that every situation, okay, every life experience that each of you is living is gonna look different, okay? These patterns are gonna show up in a different way for each of you. That's why it's so important, and that's why I have a full course on executive functioning skills. And one of those skills is metacognition. Metacognition is the skill that allows you to be present. And as I was saying before, one of the first steps is to really recognize and notice when that self-sabotage is happening. You have to create that capacity to be present, but separated from yourself. And then it's like you are watching your mind thinking. It's like you are watching yourself acting. It's like you are watching yourself feeling, but you are kind of sitting on a couch watching yourself like in a movie. And you are noticing, wow, Emilio, there you go. You wanted to come and do kitesurfing. You are on the beach, and there you are trying to find an excuse not to get there and start sailing. There you go. That's Emilio again, the protagonist of this movie, trying to do the same thing again because he's scared. And then when you start noticing and you start becoming aware, and then you start accepting the reality, okay, I am feeling this way. I am feeling fear. I am feeling anxiety. I am feeling like I will make a mistake. And if I make a mistake, those people over there are going to laugh at me. And that's going to make me feel that I'm not good enough. And that's a childhood wound I have. So I understand what's happening. And then I question myself, do I still want to go and do kitesurfing? Yes, I do. Is it risky? Absolutely. But I choose to do it. So you have to notice, you have to become aware, okay, of those behaviors. And then you have to start recognizing the triggers. What are the triggers that you notice that when they happen, it sets you into self-sabotage? That can be a sound, that can be a sentence, that can be a specific location, that can be a specific task, that can be a comment from someone, a tone of voice, what is it? What are the triggers that when that happens, you go back to somewhere and a pattern starts repeating itself? This happens a lot with trauma. Anytime a very emotionally charged experience happened to you, you have those triggers that when they get activated, you're gonna go back to that experience, and that's going to condition how you feel in the present moment. And many times that's going to engage with self-sabotage because you don't feel safe, okay? You don't feel safe. Understanding all the underlying emotions and beliefs that you have in your head that are driving you in the present moment, and then questioning those beliefs. So first you have to become aware and notice them. You have to notice, wow, what's happening? Okay, this was the trigger. Okay, this is coming because I had that experience and I feel this way. Wow, I am feeling anxiety. Wow, my heart is pounding. Wow, like I have something in the pit of my stomach. I am sweating, but I still choose to do this. So how can you push forward, right? How can you start questioning the beliefs that you have, the stories that you are telling yourself? And then how can you recognize them? And then, yes, I understand that this story is telling me that this is unsafe. This story is telling me that I may fail. This story is telling me that I'm not good enough. But I still choose to keep going. Okay, so you see where I'm going here. So you are being present with everything that's happening. And at the beginning, it's going to be very uncomfortable, very confusing, and you won't be able to get to the bottom of it. And that's okay. This is a process. Every time you notice it, it's an opportunity for you to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then it will get to the point where you are going to start building capacity, presence, awareness, acceptance, forgiveness. You're going to start forgiving yourself. You're going to start forgiving others. You're going to start forgiving what happened. And you're going to start disconnecting energetically from all those events that happened in the past that are conditioning how you act now. And then you are going to start finding new empowering ways. Okay? New empowering ways that they are going to look different to what you have been doing until now. So that is how the process can look like. Okay? But you have to really understand your beliefs. You have to understand your values. You have to really get clear on what is it that you truly want? What is it that you truly want to be doing? And then there is a sentence that I got from, I can't remember where I got it from, but basically it says, I want to blank, but I keep doing blank. And I invite you to really think about this. I want to blank, but I keep doing blank. And then really think about that and try to apply that sentence to each situation in your life where you notice that you really want to do something different, but you find yourself always repeating the same pattern, and you are noticing that most likely you are self-sabotaging yourself. And then with curiosity, with compassion, with an open heart, you will look at that situation and you will be honest with yourself. I want to kite surf, in my example, but I keep finding excuses not to do it. Okay? So what is your sentence? If you want to type an example in the chat, I would love to read some of the examples if you are brave enough to do it. I want to, but I keep doing. Okay. So let me see. T3 says, hi, Emilio. Can you clarify some ways or steps to address these self-sabotages? Okay, so let me... And Erin says, I find myself constantly responding to my six-year-old son's wants and needs. I want to set a boundary and be able to communicate that mommy is busy right this minute. I sometimes don't initiate a task because I know I will be interrupted. Erin, and then I'll go back to T. Erin, I find myself in there with my daughter. She's 4 years old. And so many times it takes a lot of time and presence and patience to set that boundary, to make it clear that she understands it. So there are many different strategies that I have found that work. One strategy is I use a timer, and I set that timer and I tell her like, Papi's gonna be busy doing X, this much time. When the timer goes off, what would you like to do with me? And then I get her excited, but then she knows that she has to wait. Another one, maybe I have a treat. And I say, Eva, you want a treat? Okay, so I will give it to you if you let me do this task for like X minutes. So I try to like really find a way that she's excited, that she respects, that she understands. And then this is something that you have to nurture. I notice that the more I do it, the more she learns how to respect that, the more that she learns how to accept that boundary, and then the more that she is willing to do it. So that's that. And then Anne, what are some of the steps, like a wrap up? So first, you have to recognize, you have to become aware. Okay, if the first step is becoming aware and noticing that you may be self-sabotaging yourself. Okay, so you have to be curious, you have to be courageous enough to like be honest, and you have to be in the present moment. You need to use your metacognition executive functioning skill to be mindful, to be in the present moment, noticing what's happening in your brain and noticing what you are doing, okay? Once you are detached and you can become aware and notice it, then you have the opportunity to process, to explore, to question. Why am I doing this? Where is this coming from? Where did I learn this? Who told me that? Is it true? Do I still choose to do what I want to do regarding of this resistance that I'm facing? What are some options that I have in front of me that I can do instead? So just really accepting, processing, and then hopefully you start forgiving yourself for what you have done, forgiving others that maybe told you that story that is not true anymore. So you disconnect energetically from whatever happened to you, and then you are in the present moment choosing to move forward in a different way. So that is like you become aware, you accept, you process, you forgive, you do whatever you need to do to get clear, to feel clear about it. And then that's when you are going to start choosing something different. You start taking ownership of your choices. I want to keep doing that. I don't want to do that. This is relevant in my life. This is not relevant in my life. I am facing resistance, I am facing fear, I feel this, this, and that is true for me right now, and I'm not willing to move forward right now. I need to be here for a little bit more because I'm not ready. So then own that. That's where you are at, and that's okay and perfect. And then you will know when you are ready to move forward. Sometimes this process can take more or less time depending on the person, depending on the triggers that you are experiencing, depending on what you are trying to do. The journey of healing, the journey of processing can look very unique and different for each of you. So you need to honor that. You need to honor that pace. And you need to really trust your intuition, your inner guidance, because you are the best person to heal yourself. You are the best person to notice your self-sabotage. And yes, you can ask for support and help. Yes, you can go and see someone, absolutely. But don't forget that you have the power, that you have the knowledge. You know yourself best. No one knows you better than yourself. So don't give your power away, okay? Use it. And then after that, really noticing, like start exploring those, all the patterns that we talk about, the procrastination, the perfectionism, people pleasing, not feeling good enough, feeling that you are not worthy, feeling anxiety of making mistakes, feeling afraid of the unknown, the uncertainty, needing to control things to a specific way, if not, it's not good and you won't accept it. So all those rigidity patterns that you may notice in yourself, start questioning them, start trying something different, start recognizing that whatever you have done until now, maybe it is not serving you anymore. In the past, you created those because they were protecting you, and maybe you didn't know better. Maybe you didn't know any other strategies, but now you have other strategies. You have other ways of doing it, but you have to relearn and you have to make a different choice and you have to be present with that choice so that it becomes a new habit. Okay? So, yeah, I want to be open with my partner, but I don't say what I need to say. I start thinking of the results of mine and I give excuses why not to talk right then and there. Jacqueline, that is me with my wife. So this is my pattern. My mom, she avoids conflict. She goes with the flow. She doesn't inconvenience anyone. She doesn't want to be a burden. So she follows. My dad, he doesn't express anything. He wants the things to be done his way, and he doesn't have a lot of emotional communication. So he goes to frustration like this, and you have no idea why. It's like, what happened? You were right, and then all of a sudden you flip, and you are in frustration, and you are being mean to me. So this is Emilio. This is me. Something happens with my wife, and I am my mom. I try not to say anything. I try not to inconvenience. I don't want to take space. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. But then when I got enough, I switch that switch, and I become a mean person, frustrated. I elevate my voice. My body language changes, and my wife is like, what the hell has happened? And then she confronts me and says, Emilio, you have to talk. You have to voice out what you are feeling. You don't have to, you can't let things build up until you explode, because then you disconnect from your heart, and I can't feel you anymore. And I am trying to change that. That is my pattern, right? And then I tell her, like, it just feels wrong to do that. It feels wrong to stop you, interrupt you, and claim the space that I need, because it feels that I am being selfish. It feels that I don't deserve it. It feels that you don't want it, and I am a burden to you. But if I don't do that, if I don't learn how to do that with her, I just flip to that frustration because my needs are not being met, because I am frustrated, but I didn't use the new strategies that I know now to stay connected with my heart, to speak up my truth, to communicate clearly, to call a dialogue, that we do dialogues where we express what happened, we express what we need in a safe way. And that is a pattern that I see myself reflected. So Jacqueline, you are not alone, but this is an opportunity for you to really think about, what can I do different? How can I move forward in a different way? Why am I self-sabotaging myself with this communication piece? What am I trying to avoid? What do I feel that feels so charged and so uncomfortable that I don't want to go there? And how can I start touching that piece in a way that feels safe, in a way that is not too intense? And then I start carving and carving and practicing and gaining capacity so that I can change eventually and I can become someone else in a different way. You disconnect from your heart. Wow, so good. Good morning from Ecuador. Hi, Steffi. Yeah, I honestly do disconnect from my heart because I just feel so charged. I feel so unheard and I feel so unsafe that I protect myself. And this is what I see, because that's what my dad does. He cannot clearly communicate what he's feeling in the process of. He builds up, builds up, builds up, and all of a sudden, he is a wall. He is mean. He is demanding. He has no compassion because he didn't learn how to do that. My grandfather was the same way. So I can't blame him. I visualize him as a little 3-year-old. And every time I do that, I have so much compassion for him, because I understand that, what? No one did that for you. No one modeled that for you. So how are you going to model it for me? But now I have the opportunity that I am learning all these things. I have other support. I have seen this model to me in a different way. So now it's my opportunity to model that back to him and stop that generational trauma from happening again with my daughter. That makes sense. Cannot express, so then I blow up. Yes. Wish I could teach my adult kids to think about this. You can try. There are so many techniques now. There is tapping, there is intentional dialogue. There are so many, many different techniques that you can try so that your kids will learn how to self-manage, how to process emotions, how to clearly communicate, how to be respectful, and how to stay connected with their hearts when they are frustrated. Because that's my challenge. When I am frustrated, to me, it doesn't feel natural to keep my heart open, because I feel like I'm gonna get hurt and I have to protect myself. But then my wife, she feels that I am not in my heart. She feels that I'm not connected. So she feels unsafe, and then she will protect herself. And then all of a sudden we can't not communicate. We cannot express what we need because it's unsafe. So that's why we started doing intentional dialogues, because we both come to that dialogue with the intention of creating a container of safety for both of us. And then inside that container where we both feel safe, we then can express the reality of what we are feeling. Even if it's ugly, we can express it in there and we can both hold space for each other, and then we can do something with it. But before, it was just a blow up and then a fight, and then very difficult to get back to connection, right? Yeah, Erin, thank you. See, I do have a recorded session about imago dialogue or intentional dialogue that you guys can listen to. And I actually model a dialogue with my wife, Samantha. You can see both of us, well, you can listen to both of us doing a dialogue and you can see how it works. But you can also find a lot of videos on YouTube also if you want to learn more about. Yeah, so guys, we are almost at the end of the session. So what did you get out of this session? What did you learn? What are you going to do now that you have this information? And have you become aware of any other self-sabotage patterns that are happening in your life? I would like for you to use the chat if you want to share something. And then while you do that, the last thing that I have on my notes, it's for you to start taking action step by step. Action can look different for each of you. Ask for help when you need it. Okay, request the support that you need. Speak up for yourself. And be aware that sometimes the expectations versus the reality can be very different. And it's just very different. So if you have high expectations and the reality outside doesn't reflect your expectations, it's very easy for self-sabotage to happen because they are very different. So that's why you have to really question your expectations. You have to really question the way you feel, the way you look at the reality, because the reality out there is what it is. And your expectations can be really high, really low, but if they are very disconnected from how the reality really is, it's very easy for you to avoid confronting that reality because it's going to be painful and uncomfortable. So that can also create a lot of self-sabotage patterns. Yeah, Steve, thank you. Say, have done Imago with Harville Hendrix. Amazing work. Yeah, amazing. He has wonderful books that you guys can read. Thank you, Emilio. I'm going to explore the areas where I feel like I am stuck. Your talk has helped me very much. Thank you. You are welcome, Julia. Thank you. Christina says, I am going to be more patient and compassionate with myself. I know my pattern of not speaking and I am working on it one step at a time. Amazing, Christina. I really relate to that because that's my work too. Steve says, thank you for sharing about your parents and how they act versus communication. So my own situations. Yeah. Amazing. T says, super helpful. I have some important things to discuss with one of my kids and I see how I can approach it more easily. Amazing. Thank you for your donation, Becca. Yeah, guys, remember that majority of the work that is going to create, the majority of the experiences that are going to create self-sabotage patterns, they may come from infancy. They may come from when you were a child. It's what's called inner child trauma. So be aware that some of those have been with you for a really long time. And doing the work of going back there, noticing what happened, changing that story, changing those beliefs, creating new ones, it can be very daunting. It can be very, very emotional. So just be gentle with yourself. And you are amazing. Just the fact that you guys are here watching or listening to this, it's an amazing step forward. Emilio, thank you for sharing this portion of healing. It felt important to step into places of embracing those vulnerable places within. I love the point of how we are vital to our own healing process. Yeah, Patricia, thank you for the reminder. We do have a lot of power. We do have a lot of healing capabilities. And it's important that we keep that power for ourselves. We can ask for help, but we are our own masters. We are our own healers, and we know best what we need. So it's really important to keep connecting with our inner guidance, with our intuition, in whatever way feels good to you. So stay connected with that and then trust it. Start taking the steps that you feel you need. And I promise you that you will start noticing a path unfolding in front of you. And you don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to have all the steps. You don't need to know what the destination is. Just one step at a time. Think about what is the next available step that I have in front of me. And then take that one. And the next one will reveal itself after. That's what I do many times. I just take the next step and I don't know what the next one will be, but what me taking that next step that is available for me and I have the capacity to take, then everything else starts unfolding after slowly. And then everything starts flowing and it's like, wow, if I didn't take that step, these new steps wouldn't show up. So that's why the work is always consistency, being in the present moment, following your inner guidance, your intuition, and always take the next available step that you have, that you feel is the right one for you. Erin says, inner child trauma is something I am trying to really work on and be patient while I heal and work towards reclaiming my power. Yeah, Erin, it's so connected. We are people and we learn about the world and we learn how to express love. We learn how to communicate. Everything that we learn about life, we learn it in the first years when we were born and up to like 5, 6 years old. So of course, everything was our blueprint of the world of ourselves was created in those early years and was created by the people who raised us, was created by what we saw in our environment. And it's very ingrained. That's why it's so difficult sometimes to even see it, because it became unconscious and now we have to go back there and we have to really assess what happened. How is this serving me now? What do I need to change? And always being very, very gentle. So guys, thank you so much for being here. I have to go because my wife and I, we have to give a talk to a group. This is Spanish time and we are giving it to Canadian time. So it's happening in half an hour. Thank you so much for your presence, guys. Thank you, as always, for being here. If you have any questions, please use the circle. It's called Your Thriving Lifestyle. And if you are listening or watching to this recording in any other platform, please share a comment, give me a like, share your experience, and let me know how can I support you further. And if you have any topics that you would like me to cover in the future, also share them with me, because I'm always looking for topics that are relevant to you guys. Okay? Amazing. So guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support with the donations also. But the most important piece, as always, is your presence and your beautiful energy that allows for this container to be created with all of us. Right now, 228 people. So that I'm so blessed to have all of you here. And I hope that this session helps you in your journey of uncovering that self-sabotage, getting curious about it, process it, transform it into something beautiful that you really want, and hopefully you can start moving forward into whatever you want to move forward, and you start noticing that resistance, and instead of feeling charged about it, really embrace it with love, integrate in your life, learn from it, and then move forward with the wisdom that you are going to get out of the process of uncovering, processing, and overcoming that resistance. That's what's called post-traumatic wisdom. Okay? So I hope that you get a lot of post-traumatic wisdom in your life. Amazing, guys. Thank you so much, and I will see you on Thursday if you can tune in at the same time, same place. Okay? Adios.